It's time for Speak Out 2.0, a locally produced community affairs program for tri-state residents. From Kingman to Bullhead City, Laughlin to Needles and Lake Havasu City, to all the towns in between. Speak Out 2.0 features guests and topics covering politics, nonprofits, entertainment, and information on local events. Speak Out 2.0 is all about you, the KNTR Talk listener. Call in during the show, 702-298-1063. That's 702-298-1063. So turn up the radio. It's time for your host, Larry Tuneforce.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. It's Speak Out 2.0. Little REO Speedwagon. Larry Tuneforce, about 7 minutes past the hour of noon. This is Speak Out 2.0, live from the Laughlin Mall. And you're welcome to call in during the show, 702-298-1063. Our show every day is brought to you by Mojave Shred, Mojave Electric Cooperative, Martin Swanee Hyundai and Kingman, and Eugene Williams Consulting here in Laughlin. My scheduled guest for today is Chaz Martinez. And about an hour ago, he said, whoops, I have an emergency and I'm not going to be there. But at least he sent somebody. So Molly, right?
Yes, sir.
So Molly is a crisis intervention specialist, I guess?
Yes. Yep.
And you're with Southwest Behavior also?
Absolutely, I am.
And then, so now you can't fill in for Chaz, okay?
Nobody can fill in for Chaz.
That's exactly true, you know. But a lot of people have tried. So now Chaz's position is kind of like the outreach guy?
Yes, he's outreach and marketing. So
outreach,
he does all the community clubs and events that go on. Chaz will always have a table there for us.
Right, right. And he had a table, a booth at our Kiwanis Kids Expo. And so now you're here because, explain the type of counseling that you do with Southwest Behavior.
Well, crisis intervention is pretty much anything where somebody perceives themselves to be in a crisis, whether it's they're having suicidal thoughts or homicidal thoughts, or just something that's more difficult for them to deal with than a normal situation that they would suffer in everyday life. So what I do is if there's a mother who is having a hard time dealing with maybe a child that's addicted to drugs and needs somebody to talk to, or feels as if they need some type of residential treatment, any type of the emergency services in the area, I normally go out to their house or talk to them on the phone, kind of figure out what their individual situation is, and then we can provide all types of resources through Southwest Behavioral Health to be able to help that person. Whether it's immediate, we can get them up to our Kingman Observatory unit where they're admitted right away. They don't need insurance. They don't need ID. They don't need anything. They just need to say that they're in a crisis and they need help.
And that's the 2359 part of the building there?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
For the listeners, that's the very first building when you come into Kingman on from 93 on the left-hand side. Yep. It is the very first building in Kingman.
It is, 1301 Beale Street.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so now that's a two-sided building. One is, like you said, the 2359, where somebody can show up at the door and say, I'm in crisis.
Correct.
And I need some help.
Yes.
And basically in that 2359, or not quite 24 hours,
uh-huh,
you're going to evaluate them?
Yes, we are. We're going to evaluate them and kind of see exactly what their individual situation is and then go from there. If we feel they can be, if their crisis is over and they're able to leave the facility, it's all voluntary, so it's not like we keep them there.
Right.
Then they're, you know, more than welcome to go back home or receive outpatient services after that. If our doctors take a look at them and feel like they need some residential treatment or some other inpatient services, then they'll walk right next door to the Kingman Recovery Unit. And they'll be there as long as they want to, as long as they feel the treatment's assisting them, and as long as our doctors are saying, yes, they do meet need and criteria to be here. Sometimes we take them from the Kingman Recovery Unit to different places that are owned by Southwest and other residential treatment facilities in Arizona to just, you know, try and assess whatever need it is they have and improve their quality of life overall.
And is that the hardest part, trying to find another facility for them to go to?
It's one of the most difficult parts, but we got a couple of really good care coordinators that take care of that. And it is difficult. It is time-consuming. A lot of people think that they want residential treatment, so they're going to get it, like, the next day.
Yeah.
That happens maybe 2% of the time. The rest of the time, it's a process. You're going to have to fill out the packet. You're probably going to have to get a physical, a TB test, and all that. You know, but we assist with all that. Up at KOU, KRU, even down here at our outpatient and our ORS clinic, we can provide all that for our clients and do everything we can to get them the help that they need.
But is the problem that so many of these facilities are jam-packed with a waiting list?
Yes, most of the time what's holding everything up is a bed date, which means if you have a facility that houses 20, you got 20 people there, but somebody may be discharging tomorrow.
Right.
So you're going to have to wait for that. Or, you know, sometimes, you may have a bed date maybe 2 weeks out.
Because I had a friend of mine whose brother went into Marina Point.
Okay.
And Marina Point's in Bullhead City for our listeners, and it's a 10-bed...
Yes, it is.
...co-ed residential treatment center.
Yes, it is.
And so, but that is more, when I say residential treatment center, that's more directed for those that have abused alcohol or drugs?
Substance abuse.
Substance
yes,
abuse.
That's
okay.
What it's for, it's for right. Substance abuse. And we have facilities in Arizona that are co-occurring, so if we have some mental disorders and substance abuse together, you know, we'll try and, get you into the facility that will help both the mental side and the substance abuse side, even though, you know, when they're co-occurring, one often causes the other.
Right.
So, but we do our best to suit the residential treatment that we place you with what your issues are.
Okay.
And at the same time, I go out to houses and just sign people up for outpatient services if that's what they need. Some people, you know, they enjoy the groups, like the Art Awakenings that you had on yesterday.
Right.
That we were talking about. A lot of people enjoy that. Some people like, we have a gardening group. We have four or five other different vocational type groups. We have several groups at ORS that also include art. And so we just like to put people in a place to where we feel they're going to be successful. They enjoy the services. They benefit from them. And they don't go back into crisis at like a frequent flyer
right.
type thing where it's day after day.
Yeah. And I think the average person out there thinks of crisis intervention occurs when the synagogue shooting.
Right.
If you were in there and you weren't shot, you still might need crisis intervention right away.
Absolutely.
You've observed something that is traumatic.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, yes, that is a crisis intervention. But in reality, you could have a 10-year-old kid who his best friend who's been sitting next to since school started in August all of a sudden died or moved away or
right.
was in a crash.
Absolutely.
And that kid is now in crisis because
mm-hmm.
this kid's gone.
You're absolutely
so
right, Larry.
I just don't want people to think that only crisis intervention is that mass shooting or a car crash or, you know, it can be, especially when you're talking children, it can be anything.
Right. I mean, we have children that do end up in crisis when mom and dad fight and dad leaves or mom leaves.
Right.
When big brother, big sister goes off to college. It can be stuff that most of the society may perceive as something minimal, but to that person, it's a crisis and they need some assistance. And so that's a lot of what I do. It's not the big shootings in Vegas
right.
or a synagogue blowing up or anything like that. It's just simply people having more things to take into their head that they're not able to deal with.
Right.
And they need to be able to work it out in a safe place.
Well, and being retired from the fire department, I've always said that, you know, when somebody picks up the phone and they call 911, they're having their worst day.
Right.
And when somebody is in crisis intervention, they're having their worst day. And
right.
like you said, it may be something that you or I could handle and go, oh, it's not a big deal, you
right.
know. But it may be something as much as the husband coming home and telling his wife, I'm having an affair, I'm leaving.
Right, absolutely.
You know?
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, she's just, you know, panicked.
Yep.
You know, forever how long they've been married, and now he walks out the door. So a lot of women would say, oh, fine. But for that woman, it's traumatic.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So those type of services is what I do 24 hours a day for a good.
So are you on call? You're up in the middle of the night?
I'm currently on call, but I won't be on call for hopefully much longer. We have another crisis intervention lady that started with us, and so we'll be working together to get everything ironed out. But I love my job. I enjoy my job.
Because you remind me when I was at the fire department, I had to carry two cell phones, my
right.
own and the fire department's.
You're making
yeah.
fun of my phones.
Yeah.
I actually have three. But yeah.
I know my friend Lori Duggins at the police department, she has always got two phones. Every time she sits
right.
down in a meeting, there's two of them. there, you know? So you got to worry about who's going to call and which one.
Right.
So let us take a break, And we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more about crisis intervention and selfless behavior.
All right. Sounds great.
The standard has been set. Now you can drive the 2019 Hyundai Ioniq Hybrid for less than $30,000. The Hyundai Ioniq Hatchback delivers 55 miles per gallon around town. Combine that with one of the world's best warranties and sought-after technology like Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, and a rear-view backup camera. Whether you're looking to save the planet or save money, Martin Swamy Hyundai in Kingman has just the car for you. Hyundai's Ioniq. Visit Martin Swamy Hyundai today. Stockton Hill Road in Kingman and martinswamyhyundai.net.
Any private or public company that maintains personal consumer information or utilizes consumer reports, payroll, financial statements, or health records is now legally obligated to destroy that confidential data. Mojave Shred destroys paper and non-paper data, including hard drives. Locally owned and nationally recognized, Mojave Shred provides compliance training and administrative assistance in maintaining high data security standards at no cost to your business. Mojave Shred is flexible and maintains the highest standards in secure document destruction. MojaveShred.com. Are you a business owner thinking about doing business in Nevada? Are you aware you can't legally conduct business in Nevada unless your business license is posted? Thanks to Eugene Williams Consulting, you can satisfy the posting requirement without paying for office space. Eugene will solve your legal limbo, provide mail forwarding services, free notary public, discount Google business listing, and more for only $50 a month. Don't risk your livelihood on not knowing the law. Call Eugene, 702-299-0511.
Chagrou's, the most uncommon restaurant and bar you've got to experience. Give your friends a call and join them at Chagrou's Wednesday nights. What makes Wednesday night Chagrou's night? How about half off any wine on Chagrou's wine list with any dinner entree? Known for their Wine Spectator Award of Excellence year after year, Chagrou's takes pride in their wine collection. Chagrou's, the seat with a view, located on the island next to the London Bridge, open 7 days a week serving lunch and dinner. Chagrou's Restaurant and Bar.
Come taste the wonders. Come taste the wonders.
Come over here.
Minutes past the hour of noon. It's Larry Toonforce live from the Laughlin Mall with Chaz Martinez, who didn't show up. But he sent somebody. I've had worse. That just like they don't show. Like the sergeant yesterday from DPS, I've never heard from him yet to say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I missed that." I know. You just go, "Wow." Okay, Speak Out once again is brought to you by Mojave Shred for secure document protection. If you deal in anyone's information, like a customer, you need to have secure document protection. So give them a call at Mojave Shred. Mojave Electric Cooperative with the Co-op Connection Card. If you like to save money, and I don't know what listener out there doesn't like to save money. If you're a listener to this show or KNTR at all, you know about saving money. So go by there and get yourself a Co-op Connection Card. Martin Swanee Hyundai in Kingman, if it's time for you to buy a new car, maybe you just got your tax return, you know, you filed it on time, and all of a sudden, boom, there's that extra money in your savings account, you might want to buzz up there and test drive a new car or a used car on the lot. Eugene Williams Consulting, if you own a business here in Laughlin and you want it to do better, Eugene Williams is somebody who can help you, so give him a call. So there's our sponsors. And again, if you have a question for Molly, you can give us a call, 702-298-1063, and we'll take your calls, and we'll talk more about not just crisis. How do you get into crisis intervention? Did you just one day decide you're watching the news and you're seeing, oh, they're waiting for the crisis intervention specialist to show up, and you went, oh, I think I want to do that?
No, not at all, actually. I got involved with social work, and I just finished my master's degree from Arizona State in social work, and part of that was internships, and so Southwest fortunately allowed me to do my internships there, and one thing I did was go out with a crisis interventionist that had the job prior to me, and I just really enjoyed it. I enjoyed all aspects of the job. It was a lot of go, go, go type stuff. It was some of it was pretty intense, but it was just out in the community helping a lot of people, and I just really enjoyed it. So that lady ended up moving to Florida, and so when that job was open, I went ahead and applied for it, and fortunate enough to get it. And
okay.
I love it. It's fun.
How long have you been doing it?
A year.
A year now.
A year. May 7th will be a year, yes.
Oh, okay. Yep. So you're pretty new to the health care, the mental health care.
Behavioral health. I've been involved with behavioral health for several years.
Okay.
But, yes, the specific position, yes, I'm new to it.
So for you personally, is there a lot of gratification when you take somebody that is in crisis and can walk them through it?
Yes.
You know, and help them understand. You can't change the crisis.
Right.
But you can change how you respond to it, right?
Absolutely. It's very beneficial when you see people just grow from where they were at when you first met them. Sometimes people won't even remember that I ever talked to them because they come in such a crisis that they don't even have any recall that they ever met me or talked to me.
Okay.
But you see them a month or two later. You know, in my position, I normally deal with a crisis, and then the next person in line will take them. That's a KOU-KRU, one of our clinicians.
What is KOU-KRU?
KRU, Kingman Observatory Unit, or the Kingman Recovery Unit. So a lot of times I'll transport them up there, and then I may not see them again for a couple of weeks.
Okay.
And so when I do see them again, and they're doing so much better, you know, and they're able to eat, and they're able to sleep, and they're getting the help they need, that's a great part that benefits my job that I truly enjoy.
And then they'll start seeing people in your facility for outpatient counseling type thing?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Yeah, we'll sign them up for all outpatient services based on what they need, based on what they want. You know, we'll give our opinion on, you know, maybe something they may be interested in, but all of our service plans, treatment plans are all based upon what the client would like to have happen.
Right. So Molly, you've been in this for a long time. That's been your goal?
It is now. It started being my goal about 5-6 years ago. So to actually reach the point to where I'm at now with finishing my master's, my next step to get my license and my clinical license. But it's been my goal for a long time once I moved to Bullhead.
Oh, wow.
So... yeah.
And you moved to Bullhead, you were telling me before we got started here, just
yes.
on a whim.
Yes, it was. It was just on a whim. I came out here, I loved it, spent about a year doing a whole bunch of nothing, and kind of figured out that I wanted to make this place home.
So do you miss the Southern California?
Not at all.
Bumper to bumper
traffic?
I don't
miss anything about it. I don't miss paying the mortgage on my house out there. I don't miss the commute to work. I don't miss any of it.
Yeah.
Nope. Yep. Maybe eating a Red Lobster, but that's about it.
Well, you know, we have a bunch of restaurants over here on this side of the
there,
river, too.
There are, so, yeah. There are, yeah.
They don't quite meet Red Lobster, but, you know.
Yep.
All right. So you're going to continue to get your next step in your education?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yep.
So, but you've got a master's now.
I do.
What's next?
It's important to get licensed when you're in the field of behavioral health.
Okay.
It's very important to be able to get licensed. So, you know, you're able to hold yourself accountable for the work that you do, and the companies you work for can hold you accountable for the work that you do, not just enter it because you can, but to actually want to get your license and, you know, hopefully know what you're doing and know what you're talking about so you can actually assist people.
And I'm assuming that for you to get your license, there's a test.
There is. There's actually a class that lasts about 2 days that I'm going to down in Phoenix in a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah?
And
okay.
Then I take a test after that, and then I'll get my basically an associate license, and then I have 3,000 hours that I have to do under supervision of somebody that either has a LISAC or already has an LCSW, a licensed clinical social worker license.
Okay.
So after those 3,000 hours are up, then I can take another test to get my clinical license.
3,000 hours? That's
yes,
a while.
It is. It is.
Wow.
But I got
like 2 years?
Yes, I can do it no less than 2 years.
Yeah.
It has to take me at least 2 years to get it done. So.
Wow.
Yep. So it's a lot of work, but it's been well worth it so far, so I'm just going to keep going and get her done eventually.
And you said you live on the river.
I do.
And you like that.
I love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it. Spent all weekend at the river. Yep. Currently have a little four-year-old, and yep, throw his life jacket on him, and we go play for hours.
Yeah? You have a jet ski?
I used to, but no, I don't anymore. I got neighbors that have jet skis.
Oh, okay. Well, perfect.
Yeah, yeah, even better, huh?
Yep.
Yep.
The neighbors, that's even better when it's somebody else's.
Yep.
Perfect.
Yep.
All right. So now, what's on your wish list?
My wish list?
Yeah, where do you want to go from here?
You know, I am very, very happy where I'm at right now, to tell you the truth.
I mean, is Larry Townsend going to see you knocking on his door wanting his job?
So not at all. Not at
no?
all. Larry's awesome. So, no, I don't mess with Larry. No,
oh, okay.
He does a fantastic job, and we have Ashley Tozier, down here at our outpatient clinic, and she does a fantastic job. So, no, I'll let them have their jobs. They're wonderful people.
Or you want Chaz's job?
I also don't want Chaz's job. See, nobody can fill Chaz's shoes.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah.
So now, when you identify someone in crisis and you identify that maybe they need outpatient,
mm-hmm.
you bring them back into your facility, then do you assign them to a counselor or?
Yes. If say you, Larry, were in crisis, I would take you probably from your house possibly and get you to the outpatient clinic. I would do an intake with you and just find out all types of information about your history, your family history, what you're interested in doing, what's troubling you, like why are you here? Most people don't come into our outpatient clinic because their life is wonderful.
Right.
They come in because either they were court-ordered or voluntarily they want help or they want to be involved with something. So I would just break down your history, your medical history, your physical history, your mental history, your education, the professions that you've had before, ask you almost every aspect of your life. And then after that, we'd go to kind of what groups you wanted to be involved with, what type of counseling you thought you needed, whether it's individual, family, if you have a kid and you guys are having, if you were having a hard time parenting, if you thought your kid maybe needed services as well. There's all types of things we offer. And so from there, we would just develop your treatment plan.
Okay.
And it would be based all on what you wanted.
And then you bring in a counselor to take that treatment plan over?
Yes. From your personality, I would kind of try and match you up with somebody who have maybe a similar personality, or I thought you guys would get along.
You think you have somebody in your facility that has a personality like mine?
Not at all. Not at all.
I was going to say, everybody just went out the back door. Toon Force is here? No.
But, yeah, we just try and match them up with what we think will work. You know, and sometimes we do a good job at it, and other times we, you know, could have matched them up with somebody a little bit that suited them more. So.
And then what about group counseling? Is that something that goes on?
Yes, it is. We have domestic violence, anger management. What else do we offer? Substance abuse, early recovery, relapse recovery, relapse prevention.
And you mentioned earlier that some of those are court-ordered, right?
Some are court-ordered, yes.
Yeah, you're going to go to this facility and you're going to take this group class for XYZ weeks.
Correct.
And that's part of your probation, right?
It's not necessarily probation, but it's based on what the court ordered. So yeah. If it's your first offense for domestic violence in Bullhead, it's 26 weeks of domestic violence counseling. For your second offense, it's 52 weeks.
Wow.
So, yeah, and that's ordered by the judge. So it's not up to Southwest to determine that. It's not up to the person to determine that. It's what's ordered. They bring in their court-ordered documents to us.
And that's 26 weeks of participating, not going one day and skipping a couple weeks.
Correct.
And going, you know,
it's one day a week for 26 weeks, so 6 months out of your life.
Wow.
Yep.
Just for domestic violence.
I am not going to say just for domestic violence.
Well, yeah, because you don't know how bad it was.
But, yes, for domestic violence offense, your first one is 26 weeks, second one is 52. After that, you're looking at prison.
Now, I often see in the paper where even juveniles are arrested for domestic violence.
Correct.
And it can be as simple as disobeying your mom. Mm-hmm. But when I see that, are they going to be sentenced to that also?
We have a children's side. They will not be sentenced like an adult, though, for
right.
that.
But I mean the same type of program.
It'll be a similar program. Yeah, it'll be a similar program. That's very rare where our domestic violence class for adults, we probably average about 20 to 25 people per class. And I believe now we have 4 domestic violence classes.
Wow.
So where with children, we probably have maybe 2 or 3 that would fit in that category of being like so-called arrested for domestic violence offense.
Right.
So, yeah, it's treated much differently.
Those are usually incorrigible teenagers.
Some of them.
That's a different class.
Right.
I can imagine. So is the counselor a 6'4", 320-pound guy that sits down with him and says, sit down, we're going to talk?
No. No, it's, let's see here, probably about 6'2", maybe 220.
Oh, okay.
You know, but, you know, he's very good at what he does. And we also have some women, too, that counsel the youth that have those same situations. And, you know, I'm very thankful to be working for the people over at Southwest. And they work really hard at what they do and trying to provide the best service that they can.
Good, good. Well, that's the outcome you're looking for.
Yes, it is.
All
yes,
the time.
Is. Yes, it is.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So, yep. So now, where do you see you ending up?
Where do I see me ending up?
Yeah. After you've got your 3,000 hours
right. And
you get your license, then where?
You know, I'm just going to let the path take me where it goes. I truly have no idea. I love living in Bullhead. I have a hard time seeing myself leaving. I have a hard time seeing myself leaving Southwest ever till I retire. You know, I'm fortunate I work with a bunch of great coworkers. You know, I'm probably one of the few people that really, you know, I get along well and have a good rapport with my supervisor.
Good.
And I wouldn't change it for the world. So
okay. Things
have worked out for me just almost as
that's good, though.
Perfect as they can. Yeah, I can't complain, Larry. So I'd love to tell you exactly where I'll be. But if I'm right here 20 years from now, I'll be happy.
So now, what are some of the other services that we haven't talked about that Southwest Behavior provides to Mojave County?
Right now, we just started, again, the Rapid Rehousing Program, which I don't know. I have a ton of facts about that. But it is a program for the homeless people of the county to be able to gain housing. So if you're homeless and you end up gaining employment, we will help you with the first 2 or 3 months of gaining your housing. So whether that's a down payment for an apartment, some utility type help, that type of thing.
Okay.
So, but you do have to qualify as homeless. There is a large package you have to fill out. But that is an excellent opportunity that if you meet that criteria, it'll greatly help you and be able to get yourself on your feet.
Can that also be somebody coming maybe out of a residential rehab that doesn't have a home?
Yeah, absolutely. It depends on where they're going to discharge to.
Yeah.
So if they go from Marina Point to Mom's house, they probably won't qualify. If they go from Marina Point to the corner of Emory and Marina, then they might qualify. Mm-hmm. So it's all individually based, and then it's just determined who gets approved.
What if they go to Mom's house for 6 weeks or something until they get to another point?
It would depend. There's a lot of qualifications, a lot of qualifications that you have to fulfill in order to be able to gain.
And you're now the chairperson for the Homeless Coalition in Bullhead?
I am not. Actually, Robert is.
I thought Robert was, but that's not. But my text from Chaz said something about that.
Chaz, I think, misspelled something.
Okay. Chairwoman of the Bullhead City Homeless Coalition.
Yeah, I don't know. He I love
maybe,
Chaz.
I know. Maybe he just thought that's who you should be. See?
Perhaps. Maybe that's what he had in mind for my future.
Okay. So are you on that coalition, though?
So I am. I am.
And you meet with Robert and all the team?
So we meet with the whole group at least once a month.
Yeah, yeah. I did the deal feeding him in the park a couple different times.
Okay, fantastic.
For Robert. He wanted me to take over. He said, you can take over Tuesdays, and you make all the food at home, and you feed 35 people in the park. And I went, time out. What?
Right.
I said, whoa, wait a second.
You know, Robert has his hands full. He does an outstanding job, and he's great to be around. He's fun to be on this coalition with. You know, same with the rest of the board members. I'll mention, like, Patty Jackass from Catholic Charities.
Yep.
You know, they all work so hard, and that's the part they volunteer for. You know, I know Robert has his little salsa business.
But that's not a big business.
No, it's not. But other than that, I know that he spends all of his time volunteering.
Yeah, he does.
And it's just great to work with all these people.
Yeah.
So
he's doing a fantastic job. And Patty, I think her building, it looks like the lot's pretty well leveled now. They put up a block wall as a retaining wall. And I think we're probably going to see them actually start, put the plumbing in the ground real
That'll
soon.
Be fantastic.
Yeah.
That's a much-needed resource.
I've seen the blueprint for that, and that is just going to be awesome.
It is. Patty's going to have her hands full.
And I'm sure within a year it's going to be too small.
But,
it's all we have. So I know the homeless people all shower at the Salvation Army, and then they get clothes there, and they get food there, and then they get clothes and food from Patty, which that's a mile in between those two locations.
Right.
So
when
you see somebody walking down the street quite frequently, they could be that homeless guy trucking up from one facility to the next.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, having that facility be open will be great.
I went out with Patty earlier this year and helped count homeless.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
We started at 4:30 in the morning, which is okay with me.
Right.
But, we're actually waking some of these guys up out there.
Uh-huh.
And then there was one individual that we found out in the desert was sleeping on a couch, and he was all covered up. At first, we didn't think there was anybody there. And then once this person poked his head out, Patty took almost like a step backwards, and I went, that's weird. And I've known Patty for years.
Right.
And Patty doesn't seem to be the type of person that backs down.
No, she'd probably smack you over the head.
Yeah, but she jumped back, and I was like, whoa, what's this, And so the guy didn't get off the couch at all. He was, we woke him up. But he was like, okay, Patty, I'm fine. And then we got back in her truck, and we started to leave, and she told me that she has a restraining order against this individual.
Oh, my.
Yeah, he had actually made some threats to her and her family.
Oh, wow, okay.
And so when she didn't know who it was going to be until he pulled up the pulled off the cardboard or whatever he had covering him up.
Right.
And so sometimes that could be a little difficult working with some of the homeless.
It can be. But, it's more rewarding than it is not.
Yeah.
I truly enjoyed, like, last year when we had a grant, and we were housing a bunch of the homeless at the different hotels. and that type of thing, which we're trying to get again this year, so hopefully that'll be the case here within a month or so. It was a lot of fun, and it was very rewarding.
Especially when we hit 120. Absolutely. Really need to get them in some AC.
Yep, we had the Travelers Inn and Bullhead really help us out with providing those rooms. And yes, they gained payment for them, but it was hard to find some hotels that would help out that population of homeless.
Yeah.
Because it does, unfortunately, have a negative stigma to it.
Oh, sure.
And, a lot of these people just are down on their luck. Some of them, they don't want to be homeless, but that's where they're at, and they're fine with it for right now. And, when it hits 120, you don't want them having all types of medical problems. So.
Yeah, 120 and 30.
Yeah,
When it hits the highs and the lows, they need to get off the street.
Right, right. So.
All right, let us take a break, and we're going to come back and talk with Molly some more about Southwest Behavior and what's going on.
Meet Sarah.
Like my new eyeglasses?
I do. And how much did you just save on those frames?
Sarah saves money with the Co-op Connections Card Healthy Savings Program.
My card made them half off. Save 30% at the dentist, too.
The Co-op Connections Card helps you save on vision, dental, hearing care, and more.
I've really got to get one of those cards.
And best of all, it's free to Co-op members just like Sarah and you.
This message is brought to you by Mojave Electric Cooperative, an equal opportunity employer and provider.
Horizon Community Bank provides business banking with a personal touch, tailored to the size of your local company for checking, savings, or loans to help your business operate and grow. Talk with one of Horizon Community Bank's local business banking experts and get your answers across the table instead of across the country. Horizon Community Bank, with local expertise and decision making. Visit your local Horizon Community Bank about business loans and accounts. Serving Fort Mojave, Parker, Quartzsite, and Lake Havasu. Member FDIC.
And we are back in the studio in Laughlin with Chaz Martinez, not here, and Molly, who is here in his place. Crisis intervention specialist. I know you can't give any names, and we would never want that because of HIPAA and all that good stuff. But what are some of the cases that you've come up against with some adults that are in crisis?
Oh, boy. We have a decent amount of adults in the area that have a real hard time taking care of themselves.
Okay.
And it's pretty obvious that they have a hard time taking care of themselves. And one thing that's really hard to deal with is assisting them with taking care of themselves, with wanting them to still have their rights, but they now have pets, and they can't take care of those pets either. And then it gets to be 120. And so you go over and clean out their house, and then a lot of the community is asking us, why don't you do something with them? Well, because they're an adult. And they can make their own choices. And even though they're not the choices we would make and they don't seem to be the healthiest choices, there's really nothing we can do.
Wow.
Unless you're going to have those individuals titled, which is in taking away their rights,
right,
which is the last thing we want to have happen. So a lot of those cases are hard, especially when the person who isn't able to fully take care of themselves is they don't really want a lot of help. They don't see anything wrong with what's going on. They're perfectly fine with doing what they're doing.
Yeah, my pastor one time, he and I were at lunch, and somebody came up and was telling him about this woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went down and we met with this woman, and because he was in my car, so we went right on down there. And she was an elderly woman living in a mobile home, and she didn't have real good vision.
Mm-hmm.
She couldn't see the ants all over her sink,
right,
and stuff.
Right.
And so we were like, well, do you need any help? And mm-hmm. she didn't want any help. She thought she's perfectly fine.
Right.
Everything's okay here. You could tell she hadn't showered in a few days, mm-hmm. and you could smell she hadn't showered in a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do need some guidance, but if they tell you no, they tell you no.
Right, and they have every right to do that.
Yeah.
And unless you can really say that it's going to be harmful and almost have to have a doctor say it's
right.
going to be harmful
yeah.
to them, it's difficult to do anything about.
Yeah, because even calling Adult Protective Services, there's not a whole lot they can do.
Nuh-uh.
Unless, there's a crime or something else going on.
Right, right. And one of the other situations that we face often, too, is a kid that's still living at home with mom and dad, but that kid is now 18.
Right.
And mom and dad want the kid to get help, but the kid believes that he's perfectly fine. He doesn't have a problem. He wants to smoke his pot. He wants to do what he wants to do. And there's nothing we can do about that because the kid...
What about the kid that's 30 that's still living at home?
Absolutely, and 30.
Yeah.
And mom and dad want the kid to get help.
Right.
Or the young adult to get help, but he doesn't want to, or she doesn't want to. There's nothing we can do about that.
It's
unfortunate that a lot of times those situations lead to domestic violence situations, and then that older child gets arrested, you know, and they end up in jail, and we don't want that to happen either, but it oftentimes does. And then because mom and dad, you know, called the police, possibly filed a restraining order, now that child or young adult's going to end up homeless.
Right.
You know, but a lot of times the mom and dad will let him back in the home, and then we're back where we were the previous month. And so those two types of cases are the ones that I find the hardest to deal with because it seems like we're going in a circle and there's real no good solution. Because you don't want to take away people's rights. We're not able to, except in extreme circumstances, take away people's rights. You know, and everybody wants there to be an easy solution to it.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, in most cases, there's not just a simple solution, and everybody's different.
Yeah.
So.
So they require a lot of your time one-on-one to try to get them into services.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. And a lot of times they don't want services.
Right.
You know, you have a 30-year-old young adult sitting at home. Mom and dad are providing everything for him. You know, he just goes out with his buddies and does what they do, and mom and dad think he needs help, but he doesn't want service. He doesn't want me around.
Yeah.
They can call me all they want. I'll continue to respond. Then they'll get frustrated with me, and in reality, there's nothing I can do. I can talk to him.
Yeah.
You know, I can tell him what we have to offer, but if he's not ready to change and doesn't feel like there's anything wrong with his behavior, then until he thinks that there's nothing anybody can do. There's nothing mom and dad can do at that point. There's nothing crisis or any behavioral health professional can do.
Wow.
So,
all right. Have we missed anything today?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it's been pretty well-rounded.
And when you look around your office, have we covered everybody's roles and responsibilities, basically? And
I think for the good majority.
Okay.
I think for the good majority, we sure have.
Okay.
You know, we have a lot of services to offer in the area. And, you know, we've hired quite a bit of new staff, and it's been fantastic, and I've enjoyed my experience at Southwest.
So how do people get a hold of you if they're out there listening and they think, well, I've got a neighbor, I got a friend, I got a coworker or whatever that maybe could use your services?
Give me, you can either give our outpatient a phone call, our outpatient clinic a phone call at 928-763-7776, and you get signed up for an intake.
Okay.
And that's where you sign up for our groups. And if you are court ordered to do DV or anything like that, I call that number and sign up for our services there. Or if it is crisis, call me at 928-278-7028. That's my crisis cell phone, and that's currently what I have on me here. So if you dial that number now,
it's going to ring.
It'll ring right next to me, and you'll hear it. So
now, do you get lots of calls from, like, the police department and the fire department to, hey, we need you down here, or this or that?
Not a ton, but we do get some. I actually received two from the PD earlier today.
Just today?
So just today.
Wow.
But that's unusual. Most of the time, you know, we have interactions with law enforcement maybe once or twice a week. So not often, but
And the Harley run didn't make you busier or less?
No, it really didn't. I was kind of surprised.
Yeah.
I was kind of surprised about that. Yeah, I was kind of waiting for some random stuff to happen, but it really didn't. So
that
was good.
That's a good
thing.
That was
good. Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's good to have a quiet weekend.
So, it wasn't that quiet, but yeah.
All right, Molly, thank you so much for coming in.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Larry.
You
I appreciate
bet.
It.
All right, let's take a look at our community calendar going on around our community right now. We got about 10 minutes left in the show. If you want to get something on the community calendar, you know, all you got to do is send it to me. And my email is TuneForce, TUNFORSS, @gmail.com. Also, if you miss something in here, you can check our Facebook page for Speak Out 2.0, because almost everything is on our Facebook page. All right, so coming up tomorrow, the 1st, the River Valley Devils football and cheer. Tomorrow's the last opportunity to sign up for this. And that happens from ages 5 to 14 and from 4 to 7 tomorrow at the Young Scholars Gymnasium right there on Highway 95 in Fort Mojave, just as you go over the hill. Young Scholars Academy there. And go to the gym, which is on the east side of the building, east side of the campus there, and you can sign up. National Day of Prayer is coming up on Thursday, and that's going to be at Fiesta RV Resort. Now, Kingman Police Department, or Kingman Fire Department, is holding a free hands only CPR. So this is, you don't have to do mouth-to-mouth, you're just doing CPR, and that's offered by Kingman Fire Department at the Kingman Police Department, okay? So it's 2730 Andy Devine. There's a great big meeting room in there, and you can go in there, and it's free, and that's Thursday from 9 to 11. So if you have family members, anybody, it's a good idea to learn CPR. And if you ever think of the song Staying Alive. Staying Alive is the beat that you do chest compressions to. So when you go in there, they're going to play that while you're doing chest compressions on a dummy, and you're going to go, why are they playing the Bee Gees? But that song is the beat, the same tempo. So that's why they do that. Now, Friday, are you ready for this? Everybody's been waiting and waiting and waiting. The Anderson Auto Event Center is opening. That's right. So that happens at 5 o'clock on Friday from 5 to 8. And it's right there at the bottom of the parkway, 3663 Highway Parkway. And if you have any questions, you can call the office for the Event Center, which is 219-3031. And now the Boys and Girls Club are doing something on Friday called Ridiculously Rad 80s. I don't know that anybody in the teen center are going to know the 80s. I mean, I guess they can come over here and borrow this CD because this is radio hits from the 80s. But that's going to happen at the teen center, and that's from 6 to 8. The teen center is not at the Boys and Girls Club. It's at 967 Hancock Road, right next to the store. For information, questions, you can call 299-5048. This Saturday, we have the farmer's market. This will be the last one before the temperatures go up. They're not going to have them during the summer. So this farmer's market is at Community Park from 9 a.m. until 1 p.m. If you have any questions, you want to call Bullhead City, the city itself, 763-9400. Just tell them why you're calling, and they will get you off to the right individual who can answer your questions in regards to the farmer's market. Also, first time around this Saturday, the Bullhead City Chamber of Commerce is having Bullhead's Taco Beer Festival. And that is at the Chamber of Commerce from noon until 10 p.m. So you have plenty of time to go in there. And if you have any questions, you can call the Chamber at 754-4121. Friday, Amber with the Chamber will be here for half an hour. She'll go into great detail. She'll tell you all about the bands and who all is providing tacos and who all is providing the beer. So that's coming up. Now, if you don't live in our area, but you live in an area, let's say you live in Big Bear and you're visiting us, well, coming up also on Sunday, you can, that's on Saturday also. Saturday is a Wildland Safety Fair, and that's at the Walpi Mountain Lodge. This is put on by the Mojave County Division of Emergency Management. Mike Browning, who's been up there for a long time working with those folks, you can call him at area code 928-742-0739, okay, and that's from 10 o'clock until 2 o'clock. It's 4 hours. But they're going to teach you about defensible space, the right type of fire extinguisher to have, and how big a defensible space you need around your property. So, race night is back Saturday night. Street racing, dwarf racing, minis, super stock, and more at Mojave Valley Raceways, way out there in the valley, on Barackman Road. I think that's Barackman Road. 6:30 it starts at the track, and you can give them a call if you have any questions. It's 346-3000. And then on Monday and Tuesday, EPCOR wants to have a community open house. They want to explain their positioning with the city wanting to take over the water control, and this is going to be at the Mojave Valley Bullhead City Realtors Association building on Hancock Road, 837 Hancock Road. It happens at 6 p.m. both Monday night and Tuesday night. So you can go whichever night you want there. But, again, that's going to be their presentation. Coming up on the 8th, this is during the day from 1 o'clock until 2:30. This is the Community Resource Exchange. This is put on by Diane Beardsley from Hospice of Havasu, And it's at the library, and everybody gets about 3 minutes in there to stand up and tell about what they do or what services they provide in our city. And so it's very informative and very interesting. If you want to go, it's from 1 o'clock until 2:30 at the Bullitt City Library on the 8th, or you can call Diane at 542-8894. Then on the 11th, Saturday, the 11th, is the 23rd annual Kerry Edgman Bike Rodeo, and that's happening at Walmart. It happens at the south end of Walmart, behind like where AT&T is, that little building. It's behind that. There's no traffic back there, no cars back there. They'll map out a big course for you, and your children can come up there and they can ride loaner bikes. If you don't want to bring your bike up there, you don't have to. But you can get a loaner bike and ride all around that area there, and they'll get a free helmet. There's some other groups that will make presentations and do some stuff. And plus, they can win a free bike. So the Walmart gives away a free bike, a boy's bike and a girl's bike, and then the professional police officers also do that. And so they give away a bike, and so you have an opportunity there to win free bikes for your kids. So if you have any questions for that, you want to call Lori at the Bullitt City Police Department, and her number is 763-9200. Just went all the way back to my zero, all the way back to my first CD here. My CD player is not cooperating. Today, Willie Nelson is 86 years old, and if you want to wish him happy birthday, on the 17th, he's going to be at Harrah's. Willie Nelson and family, at 86, he's still performing. When I'm 86, I will not be here announcing what's happening next, okay? I think we have a phone call coming in. Hold on. Let's see who's on the phone. Hello.
Hello. Yeah, I was wondering, how did the Laughlin Harley run go? I used to go there in the 90s for that and had a good time. But I haven't heard anything. How did this last one go?
Well, I can only tell you from my point of view. I was over here, you know, Friday, of course, doing my show, and found it pretty easy on traffic. There were no booths at the Regency this year. There were no booths at the Pioneer this year. So it's probably trickling down just a little bit from where you would have seen it in the 90s. I gave out yesterday, and I don't have it any longer. The information from the Bullhead City Police Department in regards to traffic sites and so on and so forth that the police department had in Bullhead. I haven't seen a report yet from the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department, but Bullhead City had 632 calls for dispatch. They made 21 total arrests. They arrested nobody for DUI. They had a total of 11 motor vehicle crashes in Bullhead City. Eight of them were non-injuries. Three were injuries, and there were no fatalities. So that gives you a little bit of idea of what went on with the River Run.
There are some interesting times from the 90s on that.
So put your calendar down, because I see the Edgewater and the Colorado Bell are already announcing the dates for next year, so you can call either one of those two casinos and make reservations for next year.
Well, you know, you end up having to go through, it used to be DelCon.
Yeah, it's still DelCon. DelCon is still the organizer, so.
Yeah. And they book all the rooms up there, and then you pay 2 to 3 times more.
Yeah, it is an expensive weekend.
You get a room, it's kind of a rip-off.
But I think if you call the casinos now, you can get a good price. I just saw them on Facebook the other day. So Edgewater and Bell are already showing their prices, so give them a holler. Thank you for calling in. Have a super week.
Okay.
Thanks. All right, back to our community calendar. Lots going on around the area. I talked to you about the bike rodeo. Also on the 11th, the Boys and Girls Club will hold the 31st annual John McCormick Chip In for Kids. And when they say Chip In for Kids, it's not spelled for, F-O-R. It's spelled for, F-O-R-E. And that's at El Rio, 7:30 a.m. start. If you have questions or you want to sign up, call Autumn at the Boys and Girls Club at 763-1411. And then also on the 11th, the Law Enforcement Torch Run for Special Olympics. That's a kayak and a breakfast. You start off at Davis Camp. They feed you, and you get in a kayak, and you go down the river. And Lori Duggins at the police department is in charge of that. Call her at 763-9200. I mentioned Willie Nelson's at Harrah's on the 17th. And I'm not. He's 86 today, so then he's going to be 86 in 2 weeks. And I guarantee you, I will not be behind this microphone when I'm 86 years old. I will have given this up by then. That's a 9 o'clock concert, and you have questions, you call the Total Reward Center at 702-298-8510. We had dinner over there last night at the El Burrito Baracho. Really, really good food. I mentioned earlier that the River Valley Dust Devils, they can sign up on the 1st. Actually, the 18th is the last day you can sign up, so you can check on that also. And that is from ages from 5 to 11, or 5 to 14, and that's going to happen at Java Coffee Express, so Javelina's Coffee Express, and that's 9 a.m. until noon on the 18th. In Kingman, they're having a Mental Health Awareness Day. That's put on by My Kid, and that's M-I-K-I-D, My Kid. And that's going to be from noon to 3. I don't have a location where they're going to put that on yet. But you can call Amy at My Kid at 308-1240, and she can tell you all about it. The 30th of this of next month until the 2nd of June, there's a Western romp right in the military parade. American Legion 60 here in Laughlin, they're going to be putting that on. We'll get more information as we get a little bit closer. Finally, I'll wrap up with the May 31st. There's a network breakfast at the Laughlin Chamber of Commerce. Starts at 8:30 that morning. It should be really nice out there at that time of day, come the end of the month. And you can call Michelle if you have any questions. 298-2214, and just hit zero when the recording starts, and you'll talk to Michelle. That's going to wrap it up for today. It's been a good day, and even though Chaz wasn't here, that's okay. We got through it, and you still got a ton of information about Southwest Behavior. And you have any questions, stop by their facility. They're right there across from the old Smart and Final, Grand Liquications, it's called now, and they're right across from there in the Colorado Place. Or you can give them a call. That's going to wrap it for today. We're back tomorrow. Tomorrow we have Diana Morrison with Tri-State Paralegal and Jackie with the Laughlin Chamber. So stick around. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day.
The voice of the free, KNTR Talk 106.3, KJJJ Laughlin, HD2.